this way. If you can't conceive it, then you can't receive it. If you can't conceive how much God loves you and how much He wants to bless you and how He wants to bring increase into your life, if you can't conceive that, then you can't receive it. That's the power that He's talking about that is within you. The power to comprehend, the power to conceive, the power to imagine. God has given you that on the inside of you, but it can lie dormant for the rest of your life. But why would you want it to lie dormant? It's much like a gift or a talent, you know, that somebody may discover over a period of time that they have. You know, a gift to play the piano, a gift to play musical instrument, a gift to sing. You know, and they discover that that gift and that talent is on the inside of them, and at some point they begin to exercise it, they begin to develop it and so forth, and they begin to use it. Well, so many Christians are walking around with the ability to conceive how much God loves them, but it's lying dormant. Amen. Your imagination is not something evil. God gave you the ability to imagine. Amen. It's a God thing. Now, you can use your imagination in a wrong way, in an evil way, but God gave you the ability to see, imagine, comprehend, conceive. And what He wants you to comprehend, imagine, and conceive is what He's promised you in His Word. I see myself blessed. I see myself highly favored. I see myself increasing. I see myself winning and not losing. I see myself the head and not the tail. I see myself above and not beneath. I got all that from the Bible. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how much God loves you. Come on, give Him a good shout. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I received this revelation nearly 50 years ago, and I'm thoroughly convinced to this day that I am the object of His affection. Not only that, but I know I'm highly favored by Him. And therefore, I get up every day of my life expecting to see His favor manifest in my life in some way. And He never disappoints me. Amen. In fact, I fly all over the world. I'm going on the average of 21 days out of every month, and I've been living this way for almost 50 years. And I have offices all over the world. I have Bible schools and churches. So I fly all over the world all the time. And every time I land and I put my feet on foreign soil, I'll say this out loud. I don't care who's listening. Lord, if You're looking for me today, I'm in Nairobi, Kenya. Blessings, come on me and overtake me every day while I'm here. Amen. And I'll leave Nairobi and I'll go to Uganda. And I'll leave Uganda and I'll go to somewhere else. Sometimes I've flown around the world and done meetings on several continents and be gone 30 days and travel and preach in several continents. And every time I put my feet on the soil I'm on, I say, blessings, if You're looking for me, I'm now in Sydney, Australia. Come on me and overtake me. And I leave every nation I go to, every city I go to, every state I go to, God having done something special. Am I telling the truth? I'm not making this up. Amen. You know, a lot of times when I'm flying commercial, you know, sometimes I need to get somewhere quickly and maybe all the seats are sold out. But I believe for favor. Yeah. There are times I go to the airport and don't have a seat, don't have an assignment, and I'll walk up to the ticket counter and say, I need to fly to London, England today. Well, do you have a reservation? No, they told me they're booked. But I need to be in London, England today. Well, sir, we can't help you if you don't have a reservation. Well, I don't accept that. I just smile. That's right. And wait. And I don't know how many times about that time somebody comes out of the back room and says, can I help you, sir? I say, well, I need to go to London, England. And they'll get on that little computer there, you know, and say, why? Somebody just canceled. We've got a first-class seat. Would you like to have it? Yes, thank you. That's the favor of God. And many times they'll say, what? And I said, the favor of God. And many times I'll get this response, whatever. I was in South Africa one time preaching to the Zulus. And this Zulu chief that I led to the Lord, he wanted to bless me with an ancestral spear that his ancestors used back during the days where they're fighting tribe against tribe. And he brought this spear out and he said, I want you to have this. Well, it was, you know, to me, extremely special. And so now I've got to fly back to America. And so I don't want to put this spear in the lower part of the airplane where it can get broken or destroyed or something. So I walk into Johannesburg Airport with my spear. I said, sir, you can't bring that spear on board. And I said, oh, this is extremely valuable. It belonged to a Zulu chief, and I can't put it underneath. Well, you can't carry it on board. And somebody tapped me on the shoulder, standing behind me. I didn't even know they were behind me. What flight are you on? And it was a captain with South African Airlines. What flight are you on? I said, I'm going to London. He said, what flight? I told him. He said, well, that's the flight I'm flying. Give me your spear. I'll put it up in the cockpit. I said, that's the favor of God. When I got to London, he said, what's your next flight? I said, I'm flying to JFK. And he said, I have a friend who, is it American Airlines? I said, yes, American. He said, I have a friend that flies American. I'm going to see if he's on the flight you're on. He called him. He said, yeah, my friend is a captain on that flight. He's on his way here. We'll just wait until he gets here, and we'll give him your spear, and he'll put it in the cockpit. My spear had better seats than I did. He made it all the way to Dallas-Fort Worth, praise God. That was the favor of God. And I kept hearing God say, surprise, surprise. Hallelujah. And if that's happened to me once, not with a spear, but things like that, it's happened to me thousands of times. Amen. My international director from the UK, who oversees our offices in the UK, he always takes me to the airport in London, and he just stands there with a smile on his face and said, what is God going to do for him now? I've had the Lord take dignitaries off the flight and give me their seats. Amen. 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 We were in Lagos, Nigeria, and I was getting ready to fly back to London. And I had reservations, but, you know, some dignitaries come driving up with a flag on the front of his car, and he'll take your seats. And these dignitaries came, and they took up all the first-class seats, got my seat. So I'm standing there, and I'm watching. They said, well, sir, you'll have to get on the next flight. I said, when's the next flight? Well, it's not till tomorrow. I just said under my breath, I'm not moved by what I just heard. I have favor. And I watched that plane load up. I watched them close the door. I watched them taxi out to the runway. And then they stopped, and they turned around and come back. And a guy got off, and the lady said to me, would you like to have his seat? It's the seat you originally had. I said, well, if it's my seat, yes, I'd like to have it. And they took this cabinet member with the president off the flight, brought him back, and put me on there. And as I was walking out, the flight attendant said, well, who are you? I said, highly favored, thank you. Amen. Highly favored, praise God. Amen. And that's just a manifestation of God's great, wonderful, and intense love. Amen. Somebody say, well, nothing like that ever happens to me. I don't know why God never does things like that for me. Well, with that ugly attitude, I wouldn't help you either. I mean to say that. Yes, I did. No, you got to get your attitude right. Amen. You got to get your attitude right. That doesn't sound like you're expecting it. I expect it. Not because I'm a preacher. I know a lot of preachers that don't have these testimonies. I expect it because I'm a child of God, in whom he loved even before the foundations of the earth. And he's just expressing that love right now. Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Give the Lord your best shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, you have every right to experience testimonies, demonstrations of God's love and God's favor and God's blessing, as I do. The only difference between me and some of you, this is revelation to me. Some of you are working on it. And hopefully tonight you'll get it. Amen. But God is no respecter of persons. It can happen to anybody. Can you say amen? That will dare believe it. How many of you believe you're Abraham's seed?
Amen.
Let me see your hand. If you're Abraham's seed, then aren't you entitled to the blessings of Abraham? Amen. Notice it didn't say, and Jerry is the seed of Abraham. Everybody who has received Christ Jesus is now the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. That's Galatians 3:14 and Galatians 3:29. Amen. Now, if you look in the book of Deuteronomy and you find the list of the blessings of Abraham, you'll come up on one verse here. You ought to read them all because they all belong to you. Verse 2, and it says this, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Say that with me. I'm a child of the King.
I'm a child of the King.
I'm a seed of Abraham.
I'm a seed of Abraham.
And all these blessings
will come on me
and overtake me. Now, do you just read words in the Bible or do you believe that? How many of you believe you have the right, just as much right as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to have blessings come on you and overtake you? If you believe it, shout amen.
Amen.
All right, now listen to this. One of the meanings of the phrase, come upon and overtake, in the literal Hebrew is to surprise.
Amen.
All these blessings will come on you, overtake you, and surprise you. I love the sound of that, praise God. Anybody like surprises?
Amen.
I love surprises. Hallelujah. I get up every day expecting a surprise from God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to listen to Job chapter 5 and verse 9. Speaking of God, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. God does great things, unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Now listen to the Message translation. He's famous for great and unexpected acts. There's no end to his surprises. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that verse. There's no end to God's surprises. Look at somebody and say,
My God
is the God of surprises. Tell somebody else,
My God
is the God of surprises.
God of surprises.
You had any surprises lately?
Oh, yes.
Well, if not, then I would strongly suggest that you begin to expect them.
Amen.
Amen. Not based on your merit.
That's right.
Not based on how good you are.
Right.
Based on how good he is.
Yes.
Amen. My God is the God of surprises. That's the way real love is. Real love expresses itself in surprising people from time to time. Amen. I love doing that. I live for that. I love surprising people. Amen. You know, I say these, well, often I don't talk about it a lot because I don't want to sound like I'm bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. Because I was not this way until I came to him.
Amen.
But after I came to him and began to experience his love, then it just became natural to express that love by acting the way he does. And I love surprising people. Now, Pastor, you can testify to this, can't you? Not too long ago, I was there in Canada, at the reservation where this pastor, wonderful pastor, his wife, have a ministry there, church there, and they're teaching the word to those people. And they asked me to come and do a graduation, wasn't it? A graduation. And for one of our Bible schools there. And I just picked up, overheard them talking about some things that they were believing God for. And the Lord said, "You can do that." I said, "Yes, I can. I've got the money to do that." And I blessed them with something that they were believing God to do. Amen. And it was a surprise, was it not? They didn't ask for it. They didn't ask for it. They didn't hint around for it. They didn't con me out of it. I don't like religious cons. Amen. And it was just a surprise. A great surprise. Hallelujah. A great and wonderful surprise. Well, you know where I learned that from? My Heavenly Father. Because He's surprising me all the time. To the point that I now expect surprises. Well, how can you expect a surprise? Amen. He's still expecting surprises. Amen. Now, listen to this. God is the God of surprises. You know, one time I was getting ready to go preach in a little small town in South Texas, and it was not too far from Fort Worth. So, myself and two of my employees, we drove to this little town. I was going to preach there that night. Then I was going to drive back home afterwards. Well, we went through this smaller town before we got to the small town I was to preach in. And as we were driving by, there was an old Ford dealership that was probably built in the 50s at the intersection of this little town. And much to my surprise, in the showroom, it was only big enough for one car, the showroom. But in the showroom was this brand new, they had started building the Ford Thunderbird again. And it was a brand new Ford Thunderbird, bright red, black convertible top. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, what in the world is that new Thunderbird doing in this little shop here in this little town? Well, my wife had expressed a desire when she saw that they were building that car, a desire to have one of those. So I'm thinking, surprise. So I said, "Guys, stop. I'm going to go and talk to that guy." And I went in there and I talked to him. I said, "Is this for sale?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, how did you guys get it out here in this little town?" He said, "Well, the owner here, he has a huge Ford dealership in Houston. And he just wanted to bring one of the cars out here and just put it in a showroom." And I said, "Well, I want to buy that car." And so he told me what he wanted for it. So we did the transaction right there. I drove it to the meeting. And then the guys drove the other car back that we had been traveling in. And when I got home that night, Carolyn was already in bed, and I just pulled it up in the garage, and I went to bed and hadn't said a word. So I'm just waiting until she gets up the next morning. You know, I can hardly wait for her to get up the next morning. And finally, she was kind of taking her time about going to the garage. I said, "What is that noise in the garage?" She said, "What? I don't hear anything." I said, "There's something going on out in the garage." She said, "What?" I said, "Well, go out and check it out." She said, "Well, if it's a noise, I don't want to go out there. You go check it out." She said, "You think it's somebody in the garage?" I said, "No, I don't know what it is." So finally she went and opened the door to the garage and looked and saw that red convertible Thunderbird sitting there. She said, "Where did this come from?" I said, "Surprise." Oh, she fell in love with that little car. You know, it just fit her. Just looked like it was made for her, you know. And she said, "Well, what was that noise you were hearing?" I said, "Oh, is that Corvette growling at that Thunderbird?" He's never seen a Thunderbird in the garage before. And so I love surprising her. You know, I travel all over the world, and usually if I have a day off, somebody asks me where I want to go, we go shopping. And I find things for my wife, find things for my children, my granddaughters, my grandsons. Why? Because I love surprising them. How did I get that? Because the God I serve is the God of surprises.
Amen.
And you say amen.
Amen.
I hope this is sinking in. Because if you can't comprehend this, his love, then it's not likely you'll ever have these kind of testimonies. But God wants you to have them. But it's all based on how deep your revelation is of his love for you. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know about you, but I know I'm the object of his affection. Amen. Well, if you are, then they are. Can you say amen? Give the Lord another shout. Praise God. Amen. He's been surprising me now for almost 50 years. I'm amazed at things he does that I never asked for. And I say, Lord, why did you do this? He said, just because I love you. I knew it would bring joy to you. Amen. That's a great way to live. Praise God. So once again, he's famous for unexpected acts and surprises. His surprises have no end. Now, I've learned to follow David's example and David's advice in Psalm 62:5. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. My soul, wait only upon God, for my expectation is from him. In other words, David is saying, all of my expectations come from God, and if they come from God, they come from his word, because he and his word are one and the same.
Amen.
Amen. So how did I get to the place where I began to expect his favor? I saw it in the word. How did I get to the place where I expect blessings? Because I saw it in the word. How did I get to the place where I expect surprises? Because I saw it in the word.
Amen.
My expectation is from him. My expectations come from his word. The more you time you spend in the word, then the greater expectations you'll have. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And you know, sometimes when you get around other Christians and they're talking negative all the time, and this never happens to me, and I don't know why God doesn't do this for me, it grieves your heart.
Yes, it does.
That they lack knowledge.
Yep, that's right.
It's not because they're any different than any of the rest of us, other than the fact they lack knowledge. Amen?
Yep.
And some people, you know, bless their hearts, they're not willing to let go of the religious tradition that's preventing them from experiencing God's best.
Amen.
But I've had people get so mad at me because I wouldn't wallow around in pity and sorrow and be sick with them, go broke with them. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like I was sitting on a plane getting ready to fly to Australia one day, and I'm sitting up there, and I bought a first class ticket. And I'm sitting there in the aisle, and a man comes by me, and he says, Jerry Savelle? I said, yes, sir. He said, what happened to that vow of poverty? I said, well, I didn't take it. Thank you. Oh, he got mad because I wasn't riding coach back on the toilet. You know, got the seat on the toilet. What happened to that vow of poverty? I said, I didn't take it. And you shouldn't have. Poverty is a curse, and we've been redeemed from the curse.
Yes. Yes.
Amen? God loves the poor man just as much as he loves anybody else. But if the poor man gets a revelation of the love of God, he won't stay poor the rest of his life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. God is good, and he's good all the time. So where do your expectations come from? If you're getting them from CNN, then you're not expecting much. If you're getting them from your local newspaper, then you don't expect much. And if you're getting them from unbelieving believers, you're not expecting much. I'm expecting based on what I've heard God say and what I've seen in His Word. And if God's Word says I have a right to flourish, then I'm going to flourish. If God's Word says I have a right to be blessed and be highly favored, then I'm going to be blessed and highly favored. I don't care who gets upset with me. I'm not forfeiting God's best just because people misunderstand. Can you say amen?
Amen.
My expectation comes from God. It comes from His Word. And if He is indeed famous for surprises, then I'm expecting surprises. Can you say amen? Are you getting this tonight?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm glad I came. I'm liking what I'm saying. Praise God. Now, listen to this. The dictionary says that expectation is marked by eager anticipation. It's marked by eager anticipation. You know, a lot of Christians, they don't get up anticipating good things happening. Well, what bad thing will happen today? That's not the way I live. Now, I'm not saying that I don't have bad things happen from time to time. I'm just like you, you know. They do, they come. But I don't let them be final authority.
Amen.
I've learned to say like the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, 24, none of these things move me.
Amen.
None of these things move me. I'm not going to allow that to be final authority because I know God is famous for surprises. And how He works all this out, I don't know. I don't have a clue, but I do know this. He will do what He said in His Word.
That's right.
He will supply my need.
Amen.
He will fulfill my desire. He will do what He said He'd do because He's not a man that He should lie.
That's right.
So that way, no matter what I'm going through, I can maintain a smile on my face, a joy in my step, and keep praising God all the way.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Like that old commercial, try it, you'll like it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So the dictionary says that expectation is marked by eager anticipation. It also says it is anticipation with confidence of fulfillment. Amen. It's like Oral Roberts used to say, it's a knowing that something good is about to happen to you. Amen.
Amen.
Something good is about to happen to you. No wonder David followed up with this by saying in verse 8, Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. The Amplified Bible says, trust confidently in Him at all times. In other words, become fully persuaded that God is working on a surprise for you right now.
Amen. Amen.
I've been preaching the last couple of nights in Pastor Michael's church there in Sioux Falls, talking about God is always working behind the scenes. God is always working behind the scenes. Do you expect it? Praise God. Hallelujah. Always working behind the scenes. I've said in those services that many times I go to bed at night and the last thing I'll say is, Lord, I know You neither sleep nor slumber. I'm human. I need some rest. I'm going to bed now. So while I'm sleeping, You work on it. And if You want to do a surprise for me, fine. We'll talk about it when I wake up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And many times when I have awakened, surprise. Oh, hallelujah. A surprise manifested that He was working on during the night. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't ever give up on God.
That's right.
Right? While you're sitting right here, right now, God is working on a surprise for you.
Right.
Anticipate it.
Amen.
Amen. Expect it, praise God. Now, listen to this. Did you ever notice how many times the words amazed, marveled, astonished, and wonderment are in the Bible? Go study the ministry of Jesus, and you'll see many times, every time He did something profound, they were amazed, they marveled, they were astounded. All those words mean exactly the same as the word surprise. They were surprised. In fact, Jesus started His ministry with His disciples by surprising them. You didn't know that? Don't you remember? When Jesus saw Peter and James and John and their father, Mr. Zebedee, out fishing, they were actually bringing the nets in to wash them, because the Bible says, I believe this is in Luke chapter 5, when he first brought on these disciples into his ministry. The Bible says they had taken nothing, fished all night and had taken nothing. And Jesus walks up as they're washing the nets, disappointed. They're in the fishing business. If you don't catch any fish, it's not good business today. Don't you know when Peter realized he hadn't caught any fish, none of his partners had caught any fish, he's not excited about going home to his wife? How much did you catch today? None. Mama told me not to marry you. Taking nothing. And Jesus walked out to the ship and got in their ship and said, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught or a catch. And Peter said, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. But at your word, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And the Bible says, when he got out into the deep, he let down the nets. He caught so many fish, his net began to break. His boat began to sink. He beckoned to his partners who were on shore to come out and join him. And they came out, and their nets began to break. Their boats began to sink because they caught so many fish. And the Bible says they were astonished. They marveled. I can almost hear Jesus saying, surprise. Surprise. Now, if you'd like to see surprises every day of your life, follow me. Amen. Follow me, praise God. And boy, the rest of their lives, as they followed Jesus during his 3.5 years of ministry on the earth, it was one surprise after another. How would you like to have been out there and you see him teaching 5,000 men plus women and children, potentially 15,000 people in that audience? And he says, now feed them. They got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How would you have liked to have been a part of that miracle? The disciples actually took the bread and the fish and break them and started passing them out. And the Bible says everybody was full, ate all they wanted, and 12 baskets left over. And the disciples were saying things like, what manner of man is this? They were astonished. They were astounded. And I can just hear Jesus saying, surprise. And they lived that way right up until his ascension to heaven. Surprise after surprise after surprise. Amen. And the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still wants to surprise his followers. Are you a follower of Jesus? Amen. Then welcome to the world of surprise. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a good shout. Amen. Hallelujah. I think you can shout a little better than that. Give the Lord a good shout. All right, now, I got to wrap it up with this. If I didn't tell you this part, I'd do you an injustice. The great key to experiencing more surprises from God is for you to get involved in surprising more people.
That's
good. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, you remember this, God speaking to Abram, later changed his name to Abraham. Genesis 12 and verse 2, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now notice, God not only told Abraham he would bless him, but he said, and you will be a blessing. And to be a blessing means that you get involved in the needs of others, and you get involved in the desires of others, and you get involved in the wants of others. That's being a blessing. Amen? Amen? Now, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Several years ago, we were on a motorcycle tour, and I believe it's down in, it was in Texas. And one of our members came up to me after lunch and said, "Brother Jerry, I want to bless you with my motorcycle." He said, "I'm believing God for a healing for my wife. And this is my seed," because we need a miracle. "And this is my seed, and I'm giving you my motorcycle." So I prayed with him over that, and they put it on the trailer and brought it back home. And I said, "Now, Lord, what do you want me to do with that motorcycle?" He said, "I want you to sew it." And so I took it to church that Sunday. And I set it right up in front of the platform, had it brought in and set right in front of the platform. Nice Harley Davidson, beautiful bike. And had the keys in my pocket. And I'm preaching along there, you know, and then at the end of the sermon, I said, "The Lord just blessed me with this motorcycle. I've got the keys in my pocket." And I asked him what he wanted me to do with it, and he said, "Sew it." So I just took the keys and flipped them in the air over my back. And I said, "Catch these keys, Tony. Here's your bike." He was believing for a bike. And that was his first. Amen. I just flipped the keys over my back because Tony works with me all the time. And he caught them. "Now, Tony, stand up. Look how big this guy is." "You ever seen a big guy like that cry?" And I could just hear God say, "Surprise." Was it not a surprise that day? You didn't come to church knowing you'd leave on have a motorcycle?
Not at all. Not at all.
That was God surprising him. Now, it wasn't long after that. See, I was looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. Wasn't long after that, we did a tour down in Louisiana, South Louisiana. One of the places we went was Jesse DePlantis' church in New Orleans. And before we went to that service, there's a man pulled up in a truck and a trailer with five motorcycles on the back of it saying, "Where's Jerry Savelle?" I came out of the hotel about that time. He said, "I brought you these motorcycles. God told me to give them to you." I could hear God saying, "Surprise." I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do with these motorcycles?" He said, "Sew them." And I got to surprise five different people who were believing for motorcycles.
Amen.
Now, why is God always surprising me? Because I'm always surprising people.
Amen.
It's called the law of reciprocation.
Yes, sir.
Or the law of reciprocity. The reason so many people never experience surprises, they don't put the law to work.
Amen.
It's like the golden rule: do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Why is God surprising me all the time? Because I live to surprise others. Hallelujah. And I'm not bragging on me, folks. I'm just revealing to you a truth that I've learned over 50 years ago, nearly 50 years ago, that's been working for me ever since. Gloria Copeland told me one time, she said, "Jerry Savelle, I've never met anybody in my life that experiences more of the favor of God than you." I said, "That's right, Gloria. I don't know why I am his favorite child. I just am." She said, "Well, he sure loves you." I said, "Yeah, I know it. And he loves you just as much, praise God."
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are you receiving this?
Yes, sir.
The Amplified says, "Doing what is for their spiritual good and advantage, be mindful to be a blessing." My wife wrote a book years ago that was called, or is called, "Born to be a Blessing."
Amen.
We're born to be a blessing.
Yes.
Amen. Born to be a blessing. Look at your neighbor and say, "I was born to be a blessing." So notice here, the Bible says, look for opportunities. Be mindful to be a blessing. So I wake up every morning. This is routine with me. I wake up every morning. I say, "Lord, show me where and how I can be a blessing today." Now, sometimes it's not giving money. It's not buying motorcycles for somebody or buying a house for somebody. It's just a pat on the back sometimes, an encouraging word. Some stand in prayer with them. Stand in agreement with them. But endeavor every day before the sun goes down to be a blessing to somebody.